Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? It's Sneaker History Podcast, and of course, you know, it is Mike, and I'm running a solo show, which means it's a Coffee Time Kicks episode, and I am graced with an amazing guest today, someone who has one of my favorite sneaker stores around, none other than Mr. Derek Curry, CEO and founder of Sneaker Politics. What's going on, Derek? How you doing, man?
Not much, man. Thank you for the intro. Thank you for having me. Means a lot.
Yeah, man. No, like I said, I definitely have to have you on. I mean, you have a store that has been around for, was it 18 years now? Sneaker store been around 18 years?
We turn 20 years next year, man, and we're working on a crazy rollout for it. We're so excited. Like, when I opened up 20 years ago, I never, ever thought any of this would ever. I thought I'd sell shoes. It would be a cool gig, but never thought what we accomplished would have happened.
Well, you don't hear that. I mean, like, with stores nowadays that popped up, you're like, oh, they were around for 4 years, 5 years, maybe 10 years. But going on 20 years is an amazing feat. I mean, if you guys don't know, again, Derek is the owner of Sneaker Politics. Probably when you see different sneaker blogs talking about, you know, releases, special projects going on, Sneaker Politics is typically part of those conversations. And how did you guys, again, where did it all start? What made you say, you know what, the sneaker store is it?
Man, so I guess it started, it was like 2003. Okay. I just got out the Army, was back. I realized I didn't want to go that path. I needed to go back to college, figure that out, see what I wanted to do. Whole plan was to be a financial, like, planner or something like that, work in the stock market. That was like my whole role. But while I was getting that degree, I was working at Finish Line. And okay. They had just opened a store in Lafayette. I was working there while I was going to college, became an assistant manager, just learned more and more. Was a huge shoe head before this. So like, yeah. It was like a great job, especially in college. It was cool. And then just watching that store grow into like a $1 million store. And I was like, dude, in Lafayette, Louisiana, this is wild. If I could get a little piece of this, I'll be set. Like, let me try to make something happen. Like, what can I do?
Yeah, man.
So just started like inquiring, talking to more and more people. And I figured out like they had a thing called sneaker boutiques that would get different shoes than mall accounts. And met Dion from Concepts, who helped me tremendously to get everything open and get like basic knowledge of like how to get these accounts and how to get everything popping, which was great.
Dude, that's awesome. I mean, it's funny. You said you work in a shoe store in college. I worked at Champs for my senior year of college. I tell you, it's a blessing and a curse because I learned so much more about the back end. But I swear, every time I got paid, I'm like, am I going to take money home this week or am I going to put it back in the store?
Oh, yeah, I didn't make a dime. It was terrible.
It's about breaking even completely. Like, I just gave you people hours for free, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's such a cool thing. So you saw how the inner workings went with Finish Line, saw a store grow into a $1 million store, which is a big thing, especially like you say in Lafayette, Louisiana. It's not the biggest town in the world. But being able to see it grow, what was your mindset? Did you want to bring that boutique style store to Louisiana and like grow from there? Or was it like, hey, any place that can make it happen, I want to make it happen?
Yeah. So, man, what happened was it's like I said, I came from a shoe background already. So when I was working at Finish Line, all my friends are like coming hang out of the store nonstop. And like, I actually knew what I was selling. So we're talking shoes, we're talking releases.
Yeah.
So it became kind of a vibe in the store. And the store manager's like, dude, you're the one bringing all the customers here. Like, this is amazing. And I was like, yeah. And then it started hit me. I was like, I am the one bringing all the customers here. Like, what am I doing? And that like kind of led to me saying, yeah, why don't I just try this on my own? And like I said, with Dion giving me like the tools to go that route and everything Finish Line taught me about organizing stock rooms and like just simple business principles that I didn't know. I was like, man, I think I'm good to do this on my own or at least give it a shot. So just grabbed the bat and swung, man.
Yeah, man. Well, sneakers can definitely be one of those. It's like we all have the passion for, right? But it can be a volatile business sometimes. And how did you find your success in that, just being able to be consistent? Because again, 20 years, being consistent for that long, for two decades, is awesome.
Yeah, you're right, man. Right now, like the last year has been really trying on us. But the thing that we've never stayed away from is like, I hate saying the word community because it's such a buzzword these days. Yeah. But in actuality, that was always what we were about, man. Like we, the customers weren't just customers. They're our friends. They hang out with us. They're like out with us. They're like, even if we're not at work, we're usually together. So it just became like more of a barbershop type feel. People hanging out and like creating that. And that has always got us over the hump. Even when online sales will dip or whatever, our stores are still strong. And like, cause we're still doing events. We're still throwing things. And like, I mean, people still want to get dressed and get shoes and stuff like that. Like bad economy, good economy, whatever. Like there's still events. There's still things you want to step out for and want to do something with. So just staying connected, staying doing events and things like that has always kept us like relevant and listening to our customers, our friends, like about what's next or what they want or what brands we should go with or things like that. So that's what always kept us ahead, I think.
Yeah. And you're right. Community becomes a buzzword now. Everyone says it, but do they really mean it? But you guys, again, you guys are part of the community that you guys put your roots down. You have events. You really get the people involved. As you guys continue to grow, I mean, from one store to, are you at four stores now?
So we have stores in New Orleans, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, Dallas, and Austin. And okay, so we're going to be in Houston this year. Hey. They'll be open at the end of November, probably do like a Thanksgiving opening, it's looking like. But yeah, we're under construction right now.
Nice. Well, I will be there for sure. I'll drive myself down there.
That's Houston's awesome. Always been a huge city for us, man. It's always been in the top three cities online sales. And just like from the beginning of me starting, there wasn't a lot of sneaker boutiques in the South. So people were driving from Houston to come to Lafayette because they like Questlove Air Force Ones. There's nowhere to get them in the South except you. So like I became friends with tons of people from Houston because of that. That I-10 connection is like a whole nother world.
It was
always a big deal for us, man, in a great city. And when Astroworld, the first Astroworld happened, I went out there with Nike people and they just wanted to see what was going on. And they were looking around and they're like, dude, every DJ, rappers you're introducing me to, they're wearing politics gear. You have a store out here? I'm like, no. And they're like, man, well, what are we doing? Like, we need to make this happen. So it kind of came from that.
Awesome. That speaks volumes, man, for you to be able to stretch so far. And it's like, and it really answered my question of when you start getting bigger, people kind of lose that sense of community. But you guys feel like the community involvement gets even deeper as you're growing. And that, like I said, IT Connection is just the best example of that. Like I said, there's no store in Houston yet. But I guarantee when you get here, you're going to have a customer base because people already know who you are, Derek. They know your store. And that's just like you've been building that for such a long time. That's super – that's, again, just something you don't see, something you don't hear because everyone's just kind of in and out so quick.
Yeah, correct. And the cool thing is, too, what also helped out is every one of my store managers basically came from Lafayette. They worked with me. So they saw the community I was building, saw everything I was working with, and like kind of went off that. So that helped tremendously too, because it's not like we're just coming into a city and like coming with this different vibe for each store. Yeah. It's the same Lafayette vibe that we built from the beginning and started off with, which makes things amazing. You know what I mean? It's just running like our original store ran and what got us to where we are.
Yeah, man. And then I mean, you guys aren't short of just your own personality and flair. I mean, you look at the hat. We already know you already know the P, the politics. Everybody knows that hat. It's one of those things like, you know, oh, which ones you get, which drop, whatever. But you guys also have like really out there like collaborations. Like you guys have like worked, you know, from ASICS, Saucony, Reebok. You guys are really just tapped in. It's not just these, oh, okay, let's throw a color on there, but you guys are telling like full stories. So like the last one you guys put out was to just say no, Kayano 14. Whole campaign behind that. Again, not just slapping a color on there and moving on, but really putting you guys into this whole story that just roll out. And I feel like rollouts have really become more important again with so many sneakers releasing and a lot of them, you know, not great. But when people put the time and effort, it makes this store, makes this shoe 10 times better. How are you guys being able to focus on, of course, the store, but also putting out these great projects as well?
Man, that's the team. The team has grown so much since like we started. And that's like, I got to credit them for all that. Because that ASICS project, the last one, wasn't a collab with them. It was just a SMU, like a special makeup where they let you basically just color up a shoe. You can't really switch the materials. You can't co-brand it, can't do special boxes or anything. But I was like, dude, so what? let's still tell a cool story. Like, yeah. Even if we're just coloring up the shoe, let's tell something cool about a political story like we all laugh at or we think's cool or whatever. And the team came up with that whole campaign and ran with it, and it came out amazing. The next year we're doing, so that's something about our 20th next year too. Every month we're going to have a collaboration with a brand we work with, like something special every month dropping, which would be insanity. But I think at the end of the year, we'll be happy that we did it. But yeah, just working. I mean, for 20 years, we've had connections with all these brands and done things with them. So to be able to tell a cool story through collaborations, full collaborations with them every month mm-hmm. would be very, very cool. And storytelling's like one of the number one things for it. Like mm-hmm. we love telling the South story. So that's always a good aspect from it. If either a political story or something, just Southern base is always cool. Because like simple things we take for granted, Mardi Gras, things like that, the other world yeah. thinks that's interesting as hell, man. And there's yep. cool things about it. So it's cool to tell those stories to the rest of the world and kind of like let people know, like, Louisiana and Texas are places. Like, you know, we're not LA or New York, but I mean, dude, Dallas and Houston are getting there. So like, I mean, you can't ignore it anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorites is the Saucony Shadow 5000, the beignets. I mean, I'm a food guy. So you got me. I love Saucony. I love food. You got me right off the bat there. And it's just, again, if you're not in the South, especially Louisiana, where are you like, what the heck? Probably, what's a big net? What is that? What
yeah,
is that?
Yeah.
But being to tell a story like, no, it's like this cool dessert. And it's really like, it's something special to you guys being in Louisiana.
Dude, that was one of the greatest releases for us ever. Because like every when you do a release, you're kind of vulnerable and you're kind of nervous. And you're like, man, yeah. is anyone going to show up? Like, is this shoe even going to sell? Like, what's going to happen? And I remember that night, like, I always get nervous before a release. I'm like, it's like 4 a.m. or something like that. I wake up and I'm like walking and there's a line around the block. And I'm talking about like, not just customers I know and see all the time, people I've never would have thought standing in a shoe line ever before. Like CEOs and like, it was the most random group of people ever, which was so refreshing and great. Cool. Like they just wanted this project and wanted mm-hmm. to be involved in it. And we had Cafe Du Monde come out and start giving them beignets and coffee to everyone in line, do things like that. It was a whole day fair just for us to check everyone out and get through the line and everything. But one of the most amazing events we've ever had. It was just great and
that's
unexpected.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, it's like when you get the person, like you said, a CEO, someone's mom or a grandma, yeah. like, what are you doing? That's how you know you've done something because it's such a far-reaching product and story now because it's not just, oh, the sneakerheads here, but we touched someone else because this story pulled a heartstring from somebody. So that's really just, that's what you're in it for, right? Like I want to bring everybody yeah. together.
Yes, exactly, man. One common bond. It was just great. I remember this lady pulling me aside because I kept walking the line, make sure everyone was all right. It got hot during the day. Make sure people had water, things like that. And this lady's like, hey, my boss sent me here. I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm having a great time, so thank you for having me. But I'm getting real nervous. I'm not going to be able to get him his shoes. He was the owner of the Rouse's supermarket chain. And he
what?
Was like, I have to have these shoes. Like, please go today for work. Just go get me these shoes. And I was like, this is amazing.
I hope to make it big enough one day I can send an assistant to go stand in the sneaker line for me.
Right.
This is what you know you
right.
made it.
Right. Same. Man, same.
Hey, there's a release coming. Could you go hop in this line? Hey, man, you know what? Again, that's how you know that your product is far-reaching because it's just, you got CEOs, you got corporation founders wanting it, and that's what it's all about, man. And as you guys have those projects, so it's something that, it's a topic that comes up when it comes to releases, especially limited releases. Do you guys see a difference in behavior with your sneaker releases, lines and things like that? Because of, again, the respect people have for who you guys are, the roots you guys put down, the relationships you have with the community versus, you know, just going to XYZ big box store and the nonsense that happens a lot of times.
Yeah. So, man, best case scenario is I like throwing the event, shutting the block down, getting as many people out there as possible, handing out wristbands to where people don't have to actually stand in line. They could hang out at the event, enjoy the event, and get called up as they could buy their shoes. That is my ideal release. Now, that's an expensive thing, so you can't do that every weekend because you need security. You need employees everywhere handing out bands, calling people in. So, yes, I wish I could do it every weekend, but we would lose money if we do that. So yeah. We could only basically focus on that on big collabs, things like that.
Yeah.
We're going through all the waves of everything when, like, at one point, Nike even told us we couldn't do first come, first serve. They were like,
yeah,
we don't want people standing in line because a couple of things popped off in different cities, and they were like, yeah, we don't want this on our back. Y'all just can't do it. So then we went to online raffle system, then saw that wave of bots and people crashing that and crushing us there. And I'm like, dude, this is not what I want to do. Like, the end result is I want young Derek, who loves shoes, to get the shoe. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it's so hard. We spend so much money these days trying to find that kid. Like, because it became such a lucrative thing. Like, resale markets and everything started popping off. It became such a different market that everyone looked at it. Well, not everyone, but there were a lot of people that came into our industry that looked at it as a business. And they were like, no, man, I'm going to make money. Let me make bots. Let me do this. Let me do this. There was cheating everywhere. And even first come, first serve, we were having people show up with like whole families. And like, they were paying homeless people or stuff like that. I'm like, wait, what is happening? So it has constantly been a struggle to actually get that young person who loves the shoes, that wants the shoes, who I want to have the shoes, to actually hand them the shoes. And it's still a struggle. We go through it all the time. We try to get creative and do different ways. But yeah, it's tough at times.
Well, last year, when it seemed like the brands were kind of producing more than we had typically seen in a while, or let's say the last year and a half, how did that... did that help in that situation for you guys being able to? I mean, there's still limited things. I mean, like, let's say Travis Scott's, you're still not getting a million of those. But in the sense of Jordan 1's, for best example, did you feel a little bit more like, hey, I can get these in people's hands when it was more of it being produced?
So there's such a hard balance on that, man, because if you give them too much and they're sitting on the shelves, it takes the cool factor off of it. And a lot of our customers come to us because they want something different. They don't want something that Foot Locker has or sitting somewhere else. So they like when things sell out. Like, even though you say you don't, you actually do. Because if you didn't get it, you like the chase. Everyone's after something they can't get sometimes. Mm-hmm. So missing out on releases, I was the same. I would get so upset about it and like hate the person that I couldn't get the shoe from or whatever. But at the same time, it's what kept me going back and trying to make me get better. And hey, let me wake up earlier and go get in this line, or let me figure this out. So the chase does like keep you involved in things like that. And you saw it happen with the Jordan 1. Mm-hmm. Every weekend, Jordan 1, people just got burnt out. And it's like, there's nothing special about this anymore. I'm over it. Like, I don't need this. Like, what's next? Like, let's look for something else. And I mean, brands like ASICS, things like that, they weren't limiting. We were just limiting them. We just wasn't ordering a lot. And then they just became hot and they allocated themselves. Like, people were just not getting them. And then like, we're like, man, we need more pair. And Ace is like, yeah, we need to make more pair, but we're not there yet. Like, it's too, like, we're years away. Like, you guys gonna have to do what you want. But sometimes that helps keep a brand cool.
Yeah.
A good example of that was the Ultra Boost. When the Ultra Boost first came out, Adidas couldn't make enough. That was the hottest shoe for like 2 years. That's all people wanted. But you really couldn't get them readily available. But then once you could, killed the market. It was over. No one wanted them.
That was like the biggest up and down with the shoe. Because I remember when they first came out, was that 2015. I had a buddy of mine who got the all-white pair, triple whites. I'm like, I want that pair. Couldn't find it. Ended up getting triple blacks. I'm like, oh, okay, no one has these. I'm going to rock these. I think I still have that pair just beat to crap in my closet somewhere. But they started just like crushing just a million different colors. They kept the 2.0, 3.0 was the same shoe, just different stitching. It's like, all right, well, now you think we're silly. We know what you're doing at this point. But what gets me, though, what I love about boutiques is that if I were to go to a store or to a boutique and say, you know what, I was there for a release, I missed the release, but I still go in, there's always something cool hanging out there. You know, it's something that, like you said, it's not a Foot Locker. It could be something that, hey, we had this one sitting in the back for like a year. We have like this sale, we're trying to get rid of it. Or just a different shoe that was for this different type of this boutique account, older neighborhood store only. It was always fun. It still is. You know, 35 years old, I'm like, all right, I'm going in. What they got, you know, what's in here? And I've found some of the coolest things from walking in boutiques. And it's just, you know, you're in the mall with your family. You go stop by JD Sports or whatever. But it's like going into your store, like your independently owned store, you and your counterparts out there, it's just something just different. It's always an experience when you walk in to find, like, it's always a gem. It may not be like the most hype product per se, but it's something you're not going to find somewhere else. It's like, just, well, this is a cool find, part of that hunt you talk about.
Yeah, I tell my guys all the time. I'm like, dude, it's passion. We're like, all my guys that work at the store, it's passion. It's like the top sneakerheads in the city that knows everything about shoes is who we want to hire. Like the real kids that are out there, like, like that love shoes. And I tell them when someone's mad about not getting released, I was like, dude, talk about the next one. Like, try to help them out on that. And like, try to balance the scales to where like, hey, look, maybe, look, we got this in 2 weeks. Another Kayano 14 is coming out. Like, we could look out for you on that or something like that. To like, to keep the relationship, to keep things, because it does suck not getting the shoe sometimes. Yeah. Like, I've been there. I'm still there sometimes. Aren't so like, I get it. Yeah, I get it. But like, there is always something coming, man. There's always something like that you'll be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I want those too. Yeah. Let's start talking about that. All right, I'm over this one. Let's look at the next one.
No, that's cool, man. And like, so when you guys do like the relationship building, like the draws and things like that, do you find it's like younger people, or you guys, or are they kind of like growing with you? Like the people you start out with, are they growing with you, or do you see like the haters people kind of is getting passed down that love and that relationship that they have with the store?
Man, so there's a lot to that question, and it's a very good question, because in 20 years I went through all these changes. Me being in the store every day for the first couple of years, like, dude, these guys are my best friends. Like, I'm hanging out with them every day. We talking shoes, whatever. I'm getting older. They're getting older. Our styles are changing, things like that. So I started changing my brand mix and things. I started going with John Elliott's and like more elevated stuff. But in actuality, high school and college kids are what made politics what it was. So I'm moving with all my customer base, but I'm actually turning my back on the new customer base that could be coming up. Yeah. And when I caught on to that, it actually took my kids. So I have two kids that are like, one's 25 and one's 26. So like, they're like, they were there. And then they're like, dude, our friends can't shop at the store anymore. It's too expensive. And I'm like, wait, whoa, what am I doing? Like, I got to look out for these kids too. So we started building bigger stores and like branching out to where we could have different brands, to where I'm not losing my day one customers that grew up with me. And I still got stuff I want to shop with, but I'm also not forgetting about the youth and the new kids coming up that are in the sneakers that want clothing and want stuff too. So we basically just went to like, our new stores are just bigger footprints. Actually, the first store we ever started with in Lafayette was 1800 square feet. And now the Lafayette store is 7,800 square feet. So like,
what?
Yeah. So we're like four times the size. The Houston store is going to be insane. It's two stories. It's 9,500 square feet. Like it's wild. It's like going to be our crown jewel at the moment.
Look, yeah, man, you keep telling me all this. I'm gonna just sit like, I'm gonna tell my wife, look, Derek set up, he set up room for me there. I can sleep there on the weekends. And
what's crazy, I'll let you know this too. What's crazy is we already have projects for 2026 in Houston, because it's going to be a World Cup city. So that's going to be a lot of energy for us. And we're also working on projects for like the rodeo and things like that, which would be sick.
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait. Yeah. Here's my wallet. Just take it. I don't care.
Houston will be very good, man. I'm excited to get out there and be out there. It'll be fun.
That's cool, man. But I like how you said there's a mix. It's a balance. It's a tightrope you're walking to say, hey, you know what? I know people who were growing up with me, maybe like a little bit more disposable income, maybe a little higher elevated taste now, so let's cater to them. But also like, hey, you know, the kids, like they still want Air Force One, $105. Mm-hmm. They don't want to spend $250 on, you know, Fear of God or whatever that may be. So that's very perceptive, very like smart, being able to read the room, because I feel like sometimes the room's not red. They're like, oh, let's put all this super high end stuff. We'll have the Nike account, but they can't sell the apparel because the kids come in. It's like, I got the shoe, but I can't afford the socks to go with this at this point.
And you also got the customers. You do have the day one customers that've been with me 20 years that are starting to pass the torch, like you said.
Yep.
They're like, yo, this is the new high kid in the streets. This is the new kid that's rapping. He's doing this. Yeah. He's trying to get shoes. Can you look out for him? Stuff like that. So that happens too, which is amazing, man. So like, we're still buzzing in every city we in because of that, because people are passing that torch and helping people out. And like, dude, you got to get fresh. Come meet my guy. Come mess with him. Come do this, which is sick.
Nope. When it comes to like the kids, so I have, my oldest is 11 and I've been at his school a couple times. Me and my wife will go in and we're like, you know what? We're old sneakerheads. We have the force of habit. I'm going to look down and see what the kids are wearing. What's on their feet, right? I swear to you, man. It's like, Crocs, slides, maybe a dunk sprinkled in here. I don't see as many like Jordans and things like that. I mean, partially because they're probably expensive and the kids are growing out of them quick. But do you see like younger kids, like not teenagers per se, but like that preteen and younger still buying sneakers? Or is it more like everyone's kind of converting to that foam shoe kind of deal?
So man, this is funny because I swore when Crocs came out, I would never carry them. But I also swore to myself when I opened the store, dude, the reason sneaker boutiques were able to pop off is because all these like stores that were in the neighborhoods and things like that didn't grow. They stayed with the LRGs and the other brands and didn't expand out to like the 10 Deeps and the Crooks and Castles and the newer brands. They got phased out and came into the market because we were carrying the new stuff and the new trends. So I said, man, I'll never be that store that gets like phased out and like doesn't pick up the new trend. Crocs first comes out, I'm like, no way I'm ever touching these shoes. Y'all are insane. Get this away from me. Dude, listening to the customers, listening to the kids coming in, like, that's what they wanted. Like, Salehi hops on board, and, like, there's all this coming out. And I'm like, wait, what is happening? So I said, look, Derek, you said this 20 years ago, you would never do this. So you need to do what the customer wants. And we picked up Crocs. Insane seller. Like, I mean, like you said, high school, middle school kids, that's all they're doing, dude. They're wearing them. They're not just wearing them after football practice, whatever. They're wearing them to school with socks. It's wild.
Dude, it's a whole fit with them, man. I was like, pajama pants and the Crocs. Like, did you just roll out of bed? What's going on today?
Yeah. Bump status a whole nother level. But yeah. So, like I said, my kids help me with that as well because they're wearing them. And I'm like, wait, what? No, man. I'm like, I can't do it. And I picked up On Running same exact way. I was like, dude, nah. But college kids were coming in the store. LSU kids are like, yo, you need On. You need On. I'm like, all right, man, let's see. And sure enough.
On was one of the things that's like, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, nothing about it. But I was like, I'm not going to wear these. Ended up getting the pair. My God, I was like, okay, this is what you guys are all about. This, dude, they're dumb comfortable. And they're like, they're different. I was like, okay, I can throw these on every so often. You know, throw these on some track pants or something and make it work. I was really surprised because just like you, it was like, I don't think I'm ever going to do this, but I got Gap by myself.
And they realize that, too. They realize, like, cooler kids are wearing their stuff. And, like, what do smart brands do? So now they're starting to do collabs and they're starting to focus on that. And they're starting to become relevant in our market now. So like people are paying attention to them, which is awesome.
So as you see the times change, market changes, I'm pretty sure ASICS is probably the answer and Crocs. But what are the top sellers that you're seeing now in this phase? Is it still those two?
Yeah, current today, ASICS is king. ASICS is booming. Like everything coming in is flushing out ASICS. They're doing a great job. But man, you can never count Nike, Jordan out. Like guys. The Ultra Boost era, Adidas owned the walls. Like, they were the best-selling shoe we had. Mm-hmm. Nike came back with the craziest answer ever with Virgil and, like, everything else. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, man.
Like, so you can never count them out, man. Like, Retro Jordan's still crushing, like, always a great seller, especially in the South, man. You know, Houston's insane.
Dude, it was one of those, probably same with you guys and all your stores, of course, because, like you say, you're down here, too, but I never expected Cool Gray Nines to sell out. They never sold out before. Never sold out before. I'm like, I'm sorry. I thought I was going to get a pair on sale. I'm like, I'll go snag a pair down the line. I don't have to rush for this. Apparently not.
Nah, everyone was ready. Dude, that Metallic 5s, black Metallic 5s.
That too? I was like, really?
Blue. The buzz on that immediately. I was like, man, this is going to be a problem. I don't know if we have enough of this. Like, what's going on? And dude, everyone was coming. The old heads, young heads, everyone wanted that shoe. It was wild.
16, when they were last released with the Nike Air in the back, I remember I bought my pair. I swore, Derek, it might have been like a month after they released. I walked into like a Chic Shoes in the Galleria down here. And I was like, oh, cool. And then, like, you got my size? Yeah. I'm like, easy. And I might have gotten them on discount, too. Like,
yeah, easy. That was my first Jordan ever. That was the first Jordan I've ever had. Every time it comes out, I grab it. And that's how I know it was a thing. I hit up the stores. I'm like, hey, man, can you hold my size, whatever? Send them to me. They were like, cool. Man, these are going to be a problem. I was like, wait, really? I was like, why? They were like, dude, you don't understand. Everyone's coming in asking for them. Everyone's like on them. I was like, all right, cool. I was like, yeah, we'll see, whatever. And sure enough, release date, gone.
Dude, that's insane to me. So that's, now you got me kind of scared. So my first Jordan ever was the Jordan 10 Shadow. They're coming back out this year.
Yeah.
And in most fashion, 10s typically sit. So I was like, all right, cool. I want to get that pair. Me and my dad had the same pair, like, we had first moved to Texas because he just got out of the military. We were in Washington State, and we moved down to Beaumont. And that was the first shoe I got from my kindergarten year. I remember it to this day for some reason. I was like, all right, cool. I want to grab two pairs, you know, one for me, one for him. Now I'm like, oh, my God, am I going to be able to get this pair? But the way people are buying up these retros now, like in original colors, it got me worried. I'm like, Like, I got to get out, go get in line for a 10 now, which is insane.
Yeah, the OG color is always a problem, man. And I think, too, like you said, with that one, everyone's kind of taking that one break, but there's still that Jordan consumer out there. So, like, they're still going for that shoe. They're looking and picking their pairs. So, yeah, I think the higher numbers are going to start hitting heavier, too, because, like, that guy's growing up, and, like, now he got the money. Now he wants them. He's like, man, like, 17, 16, things like that. I think are going to be a problem, like, coming up. Like, I'm excited to see that wave.
When I tell you I thought I was about to buy a pair of those 17s with ease, I was like, because this is one of the shoes I wanted. I never got it as a kid. I was like, now I have, like I say, I have the money to get it. It's stupid. I don't want to give you $300, but I'll do it. I was so out, man. I was outdone. I was like, okay, so I really got to be ready for this next time.
Yeah. We saw that happen with those. And, man, all that customer, the guys that they can get them, we're like, man, what you want next? They're like, man, Jordan needs to come with the 15s. They need to come with 14s, like 13s, this, that. So they started talking all that. And, dude, we went to a summit recently with Jordan Brand, and, like, that's the offense coming. So it'll be cool to watch.
15s, 16s, 17s are probably my three favorites after the, 14. Like, those just next three are just – and a 15 gets a lot of hate, but I think the 15s are really cool shoes, especially in the low iteration.
Yeah.
And
– they're man, I want to talk a lot about it, but I'm pretty sure I can't say
no. Nah, don't get yourself in trouble. I just got to keep my eyes open for these now. Then I have an idea. Put my change away. Like, hey, I'm not buying these ones. I'm waiting for these 15, 16, 17s to drop.
Yeah. But they are doing some cool stuff with them, too, that like, are really make people happy. So I think it'll be awesome. A good move. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Cool, man. Yeah. So what are you wearing nowadays, man? What's on Derek's foot when he's going into the office to run this sneaker empire?
Man, Derek has never hated any shoe. Like, I'm a fan of every brand, and my closet's always been like that. I always thought every brand has a moment every year and does something good, like whether it's like J-Tips Sauconys or like amazing. Like everyone's doing something good. Something's clicking. Action Bronson, New Balance, like great shoes, like good colors, like stuff you're not seeing. So I wear everything. Like, I mean, I'm wearing my Kayano 14s. I bought the Metallic 5s. Yeah, I wear everything, man. I have a long list of crazy shoes.
So, where you are now, so being in more of a wilderness area in Montana right now, are there shoes like that you just were able to break back out because the winter is ending, or is it something you're like, no, forget it. I'm just going to wear it and deal with it?
Yeah, during winter, man, yeah, that did change my rotation a lot, because I was like, yeah, I don't care. I'm just going to wear these shoes anyway. They all leather, whatever. But, man, snow's coming through your ankles, things like stuff I've never experienced. I never knew that existed. So, yeah, it definitely changed everything. The shoes I wore the most out here this winter was I have those Notra Dunk Highs, like the white and gray ones.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I beat those. It's probably the shoe I've worn the most. Like, it looks the dirtiest that I still keep wearing it. Also, the Jordan 9 Olive Boot. I've been wearing those.
Made for that, man.
Yep, beating them. And then I had when they did the Tinker Jordan 3s, I just had them in my closet, never really wore them. I was like, dude, they're all three. They're all leather, kind of high. Brought them out here, been beating those to the ground. So, yeah, it does change your thing because you can't wear mesh runners or anything like that. Like, you're dying.
But like freezing out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I am wearing different things. But then, too, man, I travel so much. So, like, the suitcase stays packed. I keep everything in the closet. So, like, yeah, I still pull out all the other running shoes and everything else, too.
Yeah. So you still have to look at it. See, I was expecting you to say, like, oh, I got my Solomons on out there. Like, you still have to look at extra fly.
I do like Solomons. I do like what Solomons did.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was wearing Solomons in Texas when I was out there, and I was like, dude, this is a cool shoe when they first popped or whatever. People started wearing them. And then when I got out here, I was like, I understood. I was like, oh.
It makes sense
so
now.
The Gore-Tex actually does keep your foot dry. Like, this is why. We're in Louisiana thinking, like, dude, why are we paying extra money for Gore-Tex? Like, what are we doing?
Dude. Only time I put Gore-Tex on is when it's like, hey, it might be a hurricane out. Okay, cool. Yeah. Gore-Tex time. That's
yeah, I always wondered, like, all these East Coast accounts and stuff, they're like, oh, yeah, Gore-Tex sick. And I'm like, dude, why is it sick? Like, for what? What is the – I don't get what y'all need there. But, yeah, I understand that.
It's funny, man. It's just like, I loved Solomon. I bought a pair. I was like, all right, they're cool. But I'm not getting full use out of it. So I think I gave them to, like, a buddy of mine. And I was like, I just wouldn't get the use out of them. And, actually, you know what? I think I'm going to keep some hiking shoes on deck just in case we travel somewhere. Like, I'll be ready for it, you know? Yeah. Because I want to see the full, like, what can these do in the elements? Because that's, we just, down here, we don't have the elements. It's just hot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was up here hiking, stuff like that. I'm like, oh, dude, this is an amazing shoe. I get it now. No, it's cool. Salomon actually has some cool things on deck this year, too, man. They're like, dipping in the collab world. Mm-hmm. And they got some good partners and things like that. I think people are going to, like, start – because they kind of – they came into the market pretty heavy and pretty strong. Yeah. They kind of just chilled and didn't really make it that much noise recently. But they have a good offense coming up, which I'm excited about.
Well, that XT4 is – I mean, I feel like that's kind of their flagship shoe at this point. Beautiful sneaker. I love how it came out with, like, the Aurora Borealis color pack. The OG color pack, they brought those back, and the shoe's a great looking sneaker. You don't have to go hiking. I mean, I know we joke about it, but it's like one of those that you could throw them on the streets and they'd go with, like, they're really got into that high fashion world. I feel like they started those fashion guys and girls out there were really putting those on with those, you know, their designer pieces. And I feel like Salomon found a whole new life with that, which is super cool. I mean, like you said, every brand is doing something cool. And when you curate the store, what are you taking into account? Of course, you're going to want your best sellers and what people are, like, talking to you. Like, hey, this is what we want to see. But are there any things you're, like, forecasting, like, saying, you know, like, when you first saw Salomon, you're like, you know what? These are dope. Let me sprinkle a couple on the wall and see what that looks like, how it works for the people.
Yeah, for sure, man. The way I found Salomon was at Paris Fashion Week, honestly. Oh, I found them in the streets. I didn't find them in the mountains. Yeah. So, like, I was like, wow, this is crazy. What are these shoes? Like, why are people wearing this? Every time we do buys, basically we do 70%. We know this works. This is our bread and butter. Let's go. But for this 30%, let's swing. Like, let's bring in some random stuff. Like, we're not sure about, like, let's get uncomfortable. Let's, like, put something on the shelves. Like, might bomb completely, but it also might be the next, like, new thing that everyone's chasing.
Yeah.
A brand we just picked up is PDF, and it's like the oversized shoes, like they do, like the Timberlands, the things like that. And I was arguing with Fletcher, who's like helps me with buying. And he's like, bro, we got to jump on this brand. They're hot. I'm like, nah, I don't know, man. I'm not really feeling this, whatever. And then sure enough, we're in Paris, and I'm like watching the homie Alvin Kamara's in their fashion show. We're talking. He's like, bro, jump on. You're crazy. I'm like, all right, cool. Picked him up, dude. We just blew out the first run, like killed it. Like, I was like, all right, here we are. Let's go. But that's in that 30% random things that we're just like, all right, let's try it. Let's see what happens. Could work, not. Not going to kill us. We'll move on. But we might hit a home run. So, but
the opportunity to do something great is so much bigger than the miss. Because, oh, cool, we missed on, like I say, 30%. We're still cool with a 70. And to catch that person's eye coming in, it's like you said, they've seen the same things a lot of times. And they'll come in, it's like, what's that? Let's talk about it. Get the conversation going. Get someone on a new brand. And who knows who that person is to go tell this person, this person, this person. And boom, like you said, blew out that first wave.
Yep. And that's why people come to us anyway, man. They're looking for something new, that new, that different. Yeah. Like that. That's what we've always been about, like educating the consumer, showing them new brands, showing them what's up. And you have that guy who just shops on blogs and, like, tell me what's cool and I'm going to buy that. But you also have that kid that's curious, man, that comes in and it's just like looking at the shelves and like, let me try this on. Wow, this is crazy. Yeah. I might run this. Like, it's refreshing. I like both sides of it. It's cool. I get both sides. Yeah. But the kid that really gets excited, sometimes they get me excited too, because they grab something that I wasn't sure I liked. And like they're like all about it and like, oh man, this is fire. Like, look at it. And I'm like, all right, yeah, that does look great. Like, let's go. So yeah, it's exciting, man.
Man, see, you say that. I've always wanted to own a store at some point. Like, you know, I feel like it's one of those, like, laters in life kind of deals. Like, you know what? I want to own one. But the way you said that, I was like, man, I see somebody put it on. I'm like, I'm gonna be messing my own inventory up. I was like, you know what? Those are dope. Put that in the back for me. I'm gonna be a problem for my own stores. Like, it's just, you know, I might as well just start keep buying stuff.
One of the best days when I finally started making money is when I took myself out of the stock room. I was like, dude, I gotta stop watching these shipments come in. This is a problem. Because immediately I'm opening the box, I'm looking, I'm trying them on, I'm like, man, this is sick. And then I'm like getting everything that comes in. I'm like, yeah, this is an issue. At one point, it was getting so bad, I had shoes everywhere. Mom's house, every closet in my house. Like, I'm ducking stuff everywhere to where I was like, okay, man, this is a problem. Like, I don't have nowhere to put my shoes anymore. I'm on a one-in, one-out deal from here on out. Like, if I get a shoe, I got to get rid of a shoe. Like, that's where I'm at with it. So I've been on that diet ever since.
I am trying so hard. But the thing is, it's not like for not the action of not doing it, but okay, it's all right, cool. Thank goodness, like, my dad, my youngest brother, and a lot of cousins on my wife's side, all size 10. So it's like, there's just like, probably like every quarter, I'm like, all right, here you go. But then guess what? I'm my own worst enemy. Like, oh, look, five more to bring in for the three. I was like, no, should have just brought one in, but I brought a wave in.
Yeah, same thing, man. when my kids hit my shoe size, I was like, man, this is a gift and a curse. Cause I'm like, look, I need to get rid of some stuff anyway. Y'all go through a closet, figure what y'all want, stuff like that. But then I started noticing stuff I really care about going missing out the closet. I'm like, wait, hold up. I'm like, you want what to prom? I'm like, no, absolutely not.
You're going to start giving an inventory checklist. You can only have these from this list. Stay away from this.
Ring doorbell cameras going off. They got eight shoes in their hand leaving the house.
Turn around now.
I'm like, what is happening, man? Get over here. It's running.
So, I mean, you guys are already well known. And I'm sure still also know, but when you guys were on Complex's sneaker shopping, how did that, like, I mean, again, you guys are already well known, but did it have any kind of positive, like, even more positive push for the store?
Yeah, for sure, man. Shows like that are crazy. Like, look at the views they get. That's amazing.
Yeah, I just can't imagine the people, like, I want to see it now because they saw it on the show. It's like, packed house every day.
Yeah, it's definitely a great thing, man. And the cool thing is like, we came up through that blog era. So, like, the Nice Kicks and the Sneaker News and Sneaker Files and Soul Collectors were all starting to pop while we were. We were figuring out how to take good photos so they could post our stuff. And we became good friends with a lot of those guys. And a lot of those guys ended up in the Complex Network. Oh, so nice. We've always had great relationships with, like, Brennan and Matt Welty and Joe and all of them have always been friends forever. So, like, their business started booming and we started booming in the same way. So we've always kept in touch. So it was just a natural thing. Like, when Joe found, I forget who was the first one we did, man.
Shaq,
it might have been Luca.
So
Shaq was just in the store. I wasn't actual sneaker shopping. They were just in the store covering All-Star Game and Shaq was there.
I
think the actual sneaker shopping might have been, man, I feel bad I don't know this. It might have been Luca, because we had Luca, Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
We had Ben Affleck, Chris Tucker, Matt Damon, which was crazy in Austin. That was wild.
That was during South by Southwest when they did premiered the Air movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That was an insane one. And then we just had Dion, which was great.
Yeah.
But it was always just them hitting us up like the week before, like, hey, man, they hit us up to promote Air. We got Matt. I was like, can we use the store? I'm like, dude, can you use the store?
Come on
down.
This
is insane. I was like, you could have the store. When you need it? Like, it's yours.
What do you need for me?
Yeah. I was like, dude, this is sick. So, yeah, it's always been a great thing. And, dude, as soon as the episode, it's always hard to keep quiet because we're so excited, too.
Yeah.
As soon as the episode airs, dude, phones are blowing up, emails going off, like, oh, man. That's awesome. So cool. One of the funny questions is when people are like, hey, do you got this shoe in stock like this? I saw it on the wall. I'm like, oh, man. I was like, a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I'm like, no, but sick.
That's awesome. Do you ever have people like working when you do the episode, like people in the windows trying to see what's going on, like peeking in?
That's how it was in New Orleans. Because we had to close down during the day of Super Bowl week. So the streets are packed and people are there to come to the store and they like, but there's a reason they closed. I'm like, and like, they like, what's going on? We're like, we're doing a sneaker shopping episode. Dion's in there. The door's about to show up. This is sick. And so it became a crowd in the street just hanging out as well, which was awesome.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah, very cool.
You guys just do such cool stuff. It's like, when I look, you guys are always doing so many like awesome things. Whether it be like on the media side with that or just doing your own like activations and stuff. And to tell you, it's a crime that I have not actually been inside one of your stores. I bought so many things off your website, but I have not been into a store yet. So I'm going to make it a point to get into one of those stores and just going to tell all your employees I got to interview you. Just like, oh, yeah, I know that guy.
First off, thank you for shopping with us. That means a lot, man. And second, dude, we're coming to Houston, man. So you have to come at that point.
I will. Like,
I'm in your backyard.
Oh, most definitely will, man. So, well, before we finish up, any like projects that you can tell anybody about that you want to let the world know?
Man, so I basically told you too much already. Like, you got the 20th anniversary stuff, collab every month, which will be sick.
That is awesome.
Houston's getting a store this year, which is great. We just did a new Lafayette store. New Orleans store, we doubled the size, which is amazing. Dallas is working on a new store right now as well. We do have a few more projects coming this year. The closest one, we're doing Adidas Harmony, which would be a really cool story. That's going to be focused on New Orleans that we're releasing, I think, around August. It'll be cool. So that'll be a really good one, a full collab with them that we're working on. That will be a really cool story we're excited to tell. We also have a Saucony drop in towards the end of this year. That'll be cool as well.
Oh, and then, like I said, sure.
Yeah. Then, like I said, next year, 2026, man, we're swinging. Like every month, something crazy going on. We got World Cup stuff going. We got collabs going. We got everything. 2026 will be a very, very exciting year for us, and I'm excited about it. Whole team's excited.
Awesome.
Nervous,
man.
But excited.
All right. That's, you know what? You cannot be excited about being a little nervous. So I love it, man, because that just means you guys care about what you're doing. So that nerve, like being want to be perfect, you know, for your community, for your people, that's awesome. That's how it should be, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree, man. It makes it fun still. I love being on my toes. It's awesome.
So, man. Well, Derek, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Let everybody know where to find you. Find the store on those on the socials.
Dude, goes both ways, man. Thank you for having me. We're basically Sneaker Politics everywhere. At Sneaker Politics, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everything, Twitter. We're on everything, man. Thank you. Everyone for following us, supporting us, everything.
Definitely, man. Well, we appreciate the time today. And guys, make sure you go check out Sneaker Politics. They are one of my favorite sneaker stores, and it will be yours too is when you go check them out. Check out, they always have dope stuff on their website. It's dope stuff clearly in their stores if it's on the website. So go ahead and check them out. And of course, make sure you follow, subscribe, everything Sneaker Politics, and of course, Sneaker History as well. So until next time, guys, see ya.
Dude, my man.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.